Welcome to Sunday morning worship from Zanesville Neighborhood Church. All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.
Well, welcome everyone. This is Jeff Geyer. I'm the pastor of Zanesville Neighborhood Church Network, and our purpose is to lead, equip, and care for churches that are committed to loving God, loving neighbors, and making disciples. And right now we have three small churches in our network in the Zanesville area. But our organization is also involved with a broader work of equipping the church. And that has led us to a partnership with the River Radio and particularly the Renew program on Sunday mornings. So if you're listening as a part of listening to us on the River Radio, we welcome you and thank you for listening. It also, our broader work of equipping the church, call to equip the church, has also led us to a network of international partners that we call International Neighborhood Church Network. So you may be listening to this audio program as one of our International Neighborhood Church Network partners. And if so, thanks to you also for listening. Now, this program then, what you're about to hear, is designed for church leaders. It's also designed for any follower of Jesus that is seeking to love Him, love the Lord with all his or her heart, mind, soul, and strength. In other words, anyone who's seeking a deeper and closer walk with Christ. So the topics that we focus on in this audio program, and we'll focus on some of these today, are the church, church leadership, discipleship, and spiritual formation. Now, as we talk about these topics, we are always going to talk about them from a biblical foundation. So this audio program is in many respects, it is a sermon. It is a thus says the Lord, because we are starting from and will always start from the scriptures, the word of God. And that's what we're going to be doing today. As we do so, what sets this program apart from a sermon that I might give in any one of our churches is that this program then draws application that is specifically geared towards church leaders and others who may be listening on the radio or online. So again, it's designed to draw some application that is particularly for you, just as if I was giving a sermon on a particular biblical text in one of our congregations in the Zanesville area, I would seek to draw application as the Holy Spirit leads that would be helpful and useful for those in attendance in those gatherings. Well, today's topic is about places of prayer. How might it help us in our churches if there were dedicated places or rooms for prayer? How might it help us as church leaders if we were wanting to lead our churches, to be praying churches, to be churches that seek the Lord and inquire of the Lord constantly, churches that love His presence, that rely on His presence? How might it help us, if those are the things that we value, to have dedicated spots, spaces, nooks, places of prayer? And how might it help us as individuals who are seeking to establish well-entrenched habits of prayer in our own lives, to have a prayer chair, a prayer place in our own homes, a place that is set apart that we go to and meet with the Lord day by day? These are the questions I want to ask us to reflect on today. And where I want to take us in the scriptures is to a very unique place, really. It's a place that many churches and many leaders, many sermons are focused on right now. It's this after Easter period in the life of the church. And we've been through this 40 days, remembering the 40 days that the risen Christ walked and taught and demonstrated that He was in fact risen on the earth. 40 days He was on the earth after He was raised from the dead. Well, then, as we come to this moment of ascension and Jesus ascending to heaven, no longer being the risen Christ on the earth, but in fact being the exalted Christ, there then is this 10-day period, 10-day interim period, if you will, after the ascension of Jesus, but before the descent or the falling of the Holy Spirit on the waiting church at Pentecost. And this is a very unique 10-day period in which the first church, that is the Jerusalem church, was, you know, congealed. They were together. They did certain things together as a church as they waited in Jerusalem for the Spirit to fall. Now, in the book of the end of the Gospel of Luke and at the beginning of the book of Acts, both of those written by Luke, we get some information about this brief period, again, 10 days in the life of the church. It's very unique. And I think what we're going to see today as we read this and think about it together is the value of not only regular worship, but also regular prayer. And perhaps the value not only of a regular place of worship, but a regular place of prayer. And I eventually want to lead us to reflect on what would it look like in our churches or in our homes if we established regular places of prayer. Chapter 1 in Acts, verse 7, He, Jesus, said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Let's pause right there for a moment. That is the ascension. That is the biblical account from Luke of the ascension of Christ. Again, the book of Acts is written by Luke. It is really volume two of a two-volume work. The Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts just kind of continues right on. Luke telling the story then, first, of that first group of disciples that then congeals as the Jerusalem church. And here in chapter one, this pivotal moment, this transition moment of this glorious moment of the ascension. Jesus ascends to heaven right before their eyes. They're told he'll come back just as you've seen him go. And this is a moment that we teach on, celebrate, remember in the church this time of year. Now, what I'm interested in today, again, thinking of church leaders who may be listening, participants in other churches, or just even the life of you as an individual disciple of Jesus who are listening to this today, I want us to think about, okay, what happened after the ascension? What did this church, what did they do? What were they about? And let's read then, first of all, just a couple verses. I'm looking at Acts 1, verse 12. It says, then the apostles, so the leaders, returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. I'm gonna pause right there. We've talked about the ascent of Jesus. Let's talk about the descent of these disciples down this hill called the Mount of Olives. And let's just reflect on that for a moment, because there's already all kinds of history on this hill, is there not? There's all kinds of history already associated with this hill. In our church, and we've been talking about that a lot recently during this Easter season. In one sermon recently, I talked about you know, this is the hundreds, centuries before David leaving town because there was this coup, you know, running for his life, having to leave town, weeping and barefoot over the Mount of Olives, the scriptures say. And then according to tradition, you know, being brought back to town when the threat is squashed and resuming his rightful place as king in Jerusalem, coming back to town over the Mount of Olives. Then we remember, of course, particularly, you know, poignant for Christians, Palm Sunday, right? We just had Palm Sunday and remembering Jesus declaring his kingship and declaring himself a Davidic king and Messiah by doing what? Riding down the Mount of Olives, retracing the steps of David, and then the symbolic act of riding in on a donkey, coming down the Mount of Olives, being cheered by his disciples. Well, now, think about it. Now, just a few weeks later, here are these same disciples now coming down the Mount of Olives, trotting the path, the route that their master had trod just weeks before. Now here they are coming back that famed path down the hill into the city. And it's the outset of a new era. It's the outset of a new era in the life of God's people. They're coming back now down this hill with authority. The authority of Jesus to be his church, to lead his church, to be his ambassadors on earth. Here they are coming down now the Mount of Olives. And what are they going to do when they come down? Well, let's read on in verse 14. Well, first of all, verse 13, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Let's see who's in the room. First of all, Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. The leaders are named there. The first thing they do is they go to this upstairs room, and then in verse 14, we're told in a summary kind of way, describing this 10-day interim period before the day of Pentecost. In verse 14, it says this, I'm reading exactly, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So here it is then, this band of disciples, the leaders and the others, the first church, they congeal. It's a new era. It's an interim period. And what their activity here is that they are praying and praying fervently to God. Now, we're going to talk about prayer primarily in this message today. Again, this is designed for radio listeners, people of churches everywhere, leaders of churches, individuals. But before we talk about prayer, let me also mention worship. Acts chapter 1 describes the prayer life during this 10-day period. Luke chapter 24, also written by Luke, also gives us some information about this 10-day period of time. And what is given in that place is that this group, after Jesus ascended, they worshiped constantly in the temple courts. So the two characteristics, the two habits, practices of this group in this brief period of time in church history that were given by Luke is prayer and worship. Now, we're looking at Acts 1 today and focusing more of our attention on the prayer portion. And prayer and fervent prayer to God, and finding a special time and gathering in a special place to pray, is, I think, part of the legacy of this first Jerusalem church during this unique, that comes from this unique interim period in the life of their church. And what I mean by that is, ever since, hundreds of years of church history, people have been finding special places or designating special places for prayer. Some of them, people designating them as, quote, upper rooms. in a way, seeking to follow this practice of the First Jerusalem Church of going to an upper room, an upstairs room, and making it a prayer room, a place for prayer meetings. In fact, you can walk through many church buildings. I know I have over the years. I remember walking, you know, walking through the halls of various churches, and occasionally you'll find rooms with a placard outside the room that says the upper room or an upper room. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that's the prayer room. That's the prayer room, the designated prayer place of a given church. And it comes from this example of the Jerusalem church during this 10-day period of time. Is it an example worth following? That's what I want to talk about today. Is it an example worth following? These folks found a place, an upstairs room, and made it a prayer place. And it was designated as such. Now, they also, some of them, it seems like were living there, but this was their place of prayer. Is this an example worth following? I say yes. One of my goals and dreams for our network of churches in the Zanesville area is to develop fully functioning places of prayer, upper rooms, if you will, at all of the locations where we have churches. These could be rooms. They could be little nooks or corners of rooms, particularly in our assisted living places where we have church and our assisted living centers. There may be little nooks or corners where they could be designated as places of prayer. But in all of these places, a prayer place, an upper room, would have resources, guides, helps that would help people and guide them through prayer in times of prayer. These could be places of personal retreat where folks could go and find some silence, solitude to be with God by themselves. These could be places where groups gather for prayer meetings, as was the case with this Acts church. Whatever the case may be, the idea, the vision, the goal that we're pursuing as a network of churches is to have prayer places in each of our locations. We're very thankful to have made a start on this here at our Zanesville hub location, our Sunday morning location on the campus of Trinity Church in Zanesville. For us, when we moved here in late 2023, we set our eyes on the chapel as our upper room. Now, it's a place in this building that's used for other purposes as well, choir practices and some special services through the year and things like that. But for us, we designated it as a place that we wanted to set apart for prayer. And thanks be to God, we've made some steps in that direction. Last fall on Thursdays, we began having weekly prayer meetings in that space. Also last year, some members of our congregation have found it to be a place to retreat, to slip away, and to spend some time in personal and silent prayer with the Lord. Now, we have a long way to go in our congregation and in our main church here in Zanesville in establishing the chapel as the kind of upper room, the kind of place of prayer that we envision it could become. We have a long way to go in our other locations in terms of establishing regular places of prayer, dedicated places of prayer in those locations. This will be a multi-year endeavor for us. But I want to raise today this question again with the Acts 1 passage in front of us, with the story of the Jerusalem church in front of us. Just raise this question for us as people listening from other churches and church leaders. Is there value in having a dedicated place of prayer, a dedicated room for prayer in either your church building, church location, or your home? Is there value in that? Well, let me just, as we reflect on that, talk about, again, the first church, the Jerusalem church. They worshiped and they prayed. Most of us In the churches that we to which we belong, and again, the church is a group of people, but we often have, as churches, as groups of people, places, dedicated places where we worship. Of course we do. We call them church buildings. We call them sanctuaries. We call them worship centers. And we spend a lot of time and a lot of effort locating, finding, purchasing, setting up our worship spaces and our worship centers, you know, places where we gather for worship every Sunday. And this is right and good, and I'm not suggesting that we should do otherwise, but what I would ask is, should we also put some effort into developing dedicated places, nooks, rooms, chapels, locations for prayer, upper rooms in the church facilities that we inhabit week in and week out? What would it look like if we did that, or should we look to do that? Now, I'll address kind of this, the skeptical, cynical side of this to also today. Many of us might say, well, I've been in those church buildings where there's a designated upper room or prayer room, and those become some of the least used rooms in the whole building. In fact, many of us may have been in churches in which the prayer room eventually becomes the storage room for the old Christmas decorations or some such thing as that. You know, in other words, we can put a placard outside the door, but it becomes an unused thing if there's not a real value of prayer and a practice of prayer that is alive in that particular congregation. And that's a fair point. The first church during this 10-day window of times, they came back down from the Mount of Olives. They clearly valued prayer. So they were going to pray, and they were going to find a place to pray, whether it be upstairs, downstairs, outdoors, indoors, whatever. They were going to find a place to pray because they valued prayer. So yes, in our congregations, there has to be a valuing of prayer first and foremost. And if we wanted to build that in our churches, where could we look? Well, we would look at the scriptures and we find that the value of prayer, seeking God, seeking His presence, inquiring of God for guidance, direction, and leadership is writ large, is writ throughout the scriptures. It's a major theme. It's a major thing that God wants His people to do, Old Testament and New Testament, to ask Him, to depend on Him, to pray persistently and regularly. It's unmistakable in the scriptures. So it has to be a high value for churches, individuals, and for church leaders. Prayer has to be a high value and priority. Now, then the question becomes this. These people, the Jerusalem church, seemed to get that, and they made the upper room a prayer room. I wonder if we get that in our churches, or if we value that as leaders, if we will then set apart prayer spaces. And I wonder if we set apart prayer spaces and communicate that we value prayer by setting apart those spaces and then going ahead and actually using them ourselves and leading the way in using them ourselves. I mean, in our prayer space, currently, it's taken me and a few others just going ahead and actually doing it, going in there and praying and calling prayer meetings. But if we used spaces and created spaces and then used them, would that not go to build a value and habit of prayer in our congregations? That's what I'm asking, and that's what I'm wondering, and I'm asking you to reflect on today. Clearly, this is part of the example of the Jerusalem church during this unique period. It's worship and it's prayer. It's a space for worship, which was the temple courts, but they also had a space for prayer. What if we followed their example in this? What would be the result? Now, I'm asking that question and asking, again, churches and church leaders to reflect on that today. But I'll close also with a word for us as individuals and individual disciples. People who practice prayer and practice it consistently and regularly in their lives and who establish well-entrenched habits of prayer often share the following tip, that it helps to have a set-apart time and place for prayer even in your own home. What is the hour or hours that you will spend with the Lord in prayer? And what are the spaces? What is the prayer nook or the prayer chair that you have in your home that is just your spot to go and be with the Lord? And that having those spaces helps to support a practice and a habit of prayer. Yes, we have to value prayer to begin with. But having dedicated time and space for prayer supports the habit and then grows the value, the appreciation, the heart for prayer as that habit becomes more and more a lifestyle and more a part of our life. So I want to say in closing, as churches, as individual disciples, whether we have a physical upper room yet in our churches, in our church building or not, we do have the opportunity always to develop an upper room ethos, if you will, an upper room lifestyle. That is, we have the opportunity always, including this summer, including right now, to say, wait a minute, from the scriptures, and even from the scriptures that we've looked at today, there is a high value placed on prayer. There is a high value placed on prayer. And if that's the case, then I need to place a high value on it in my life and in the life of my church. And so one of the things that I need to do, along with developing regular habits and places for worship, which usually Sunday morning, I need to develop in my life or the life of my church or my family regular habits and places of prayer, upper rooms. And again, whether there's a physical place designated in my church yet or not, I can make this summer and this season a time in which I spend regular time in prayer. I hope that you will, and thanks again for listening today.
All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.